Penguin Random House Audio presents In Royal Service to the Queen, a novel of the Queen's Governess by Tessa Arlen, read for you by Mari Morrison. Part 1, 1931 to 1936. Chapter 1, June 18th, 1931. Limekiln Cottage, Dunfermline, Scotland.
Good Lord above, Marian, have you quite gone off your head?
My mother banged the oven door shut and straightened up, her cheeks flushed and not from baking bread on the warmest afternoon of summer. She pushed back greying hair, leaving her palm clasped across her forehead as if to hold on to reason.
I hope you didn't accept.
Her voice lifted in pitch and volume.
I hope you didn't say yes.
Her eyes bored into mine from across the kitchen.
You did, didn't you?
She threw her hands up, her fingers stiff with anger.
Well, you'll just have to tell them you are not going. I won't let you ruin your future because someone plants a daft idea in your head, and that's final.
Oh dear, I kept my voice light, and I always wanted to know what it would be like for a maid to bring me my early morning tea and a footman to clean my shoes. It was like putting a match to brandy pudding. Her cheeks flared crimson, her eyes flashed a warning.
There is no need for you to be so flippant, my girl.
Not when you are about to jeopardize your career with this ridiculous jaunt down south. She threw her tea towel on the kitchen table.
I don't understand you, the things you come up with. Did Lady Elgin put you up to this nonsense?
Of course she did. I knew looking after her children this summer would distract you from your studies. I began to regret my first excited, heedless words. I have been offered a job teaching the Duchess of York's little girl. I reached out to her. My fingers curled lightly around her arm. She shook them off with a twist of her shoulder.
Ma, would you please stop for a moment? I am trying to stop you from wrecking your life.
There's a lot more to this than my going to London just because I was offered a posh job. She clasped my shoulder, a shake with each word.
All your life, you have wanted to be a teacher.
The intensity in her voice softened.
Isn't that what all this hard work has been for? The letters of recommendation, the Moray Training College agreeing to extend your scholarship for the autumn term. Most people would give their eye teeth. So why on earth would you want to throw it all away?
She drew in a breath to continue, her earnest gaze fastened on my face.
My dear girl, you know as well as I do that these people, they are different. Nothing like us. Nothing.
Their way of life, their money, their...
There.
She wrung her hands in her apron and stumbled into speech again.
Their place in the world. They are demanding and inconsiderate to the folk who work for them. You'd be little better than one of their servants.
I opened my mouth to say I would be nothing of the kind, but I shut it again. I understood her desperate need to save me from the sort of life my grandmother knew, a housekeeper to a wealthy landowning family.
I haven't said yes to the job because I wanted to thrash it out with you first. You know, the way we always do. Just like this.
She huffed and turned away.
Come on, come outside and get a breath of air. It's stifling in here.
I want to tell you everything that happened, and then you can tell me what you really think. A grunt of reluctant assent, but she allowed me to steer her through the door to our garden behind the cottage. I sat her down on an old oak bench under the kitchen window. She leaned back against the stone wall and flapped her hand in front of her face.
Oof, But it's hot in that kitchen. What a summer. She looked out across the vegetable garden. Two ducks glided in to land on the surface of the pond, braked with their wings, too late, and skidded into its far bank. A piece of clownery that always made her laugh, but not today. I watched her struggle for equanimity, or, as she put it, to get a hold of herself. A lifelong practice in the face of all the adversity and disappointment she had known in her 56 years. The rise and fall of her chest slowed its pace. Her cheeks, still pink with distress, relaxed muscles tight with anxiety. I went back into the kitchen, worked the pump hard to bring up cold water from the well, and returned with two glasses. She took a sip. There, that's better. She turned to squint at me, her hand shielding her face from the sun slanting through the leaves of the mulberry tree that shaded the kitchen door. She took my hand in her lap and smoothed its palm with her thumb, as if trying to ease away my wayward thoughts. I didn't mean to lead off quite so... Her mouth turned down. You fairly caught me on the hop. She patted my hand to reassure herself that she had misunderstood. You're not seriously thinking of taking up this offer, are you, Marion? I curled my fingers around her hand. First of all, the job is only for 3 months. I will be back in Edinburgh at the end of September to start my psychology course. Nothing will... Exhausted from overwork and completely unprepared. I shook my head. Not at all. This is a summer job, and I will have the afternoons free to study. There are only 2 girls in the family. The younger one will be looked after by her nanny. I am to teach the older one, Princess Elizabeth. Lilibet, they call her. She's 5. A governess is not the same thing as a school teacher. One is a flunky. The other performs a public service. A vital one, and one sorely needed by the children of working families. Yes, I know that, Ma. But you're all steamed up over nothing. This is a short-term job, and I'll be a schoolteacher for the rest of my working life. Anyway, I like them. She is a nice woman, straightforward, kind, and unlikely as it sounds, quite ordinary. There is nothing ordinary about a duchess, my darling girl, particularly a royal one. I smiled, because the duchess, with her quick blue eyes, her unfashionable wispy fringe of fine brown hair, and her tinkly, girlish laugh, struck me, again, as commonplace. Not the sort of woman a king's son would marry, even if Prince Albert, the Duke of York, was second in line to the throne, the spare. Be patient, I reminded myself, as my mother said something about the arrogance of aristocrats, most of them with pea-sized brains. You know this is an amazing offer. Now explain why to her. Tactfully. I didn't realize it until today, but I have never been out of Scotland before. A summer spent teaching the granddaughter to our king would be a chance to see a part of life that we only read about in history books. Years later, it will be good for me, broadening even. Her eyebrows arched high into her hairline, and one shoulder came up. Who would want to see that? Weren't your grandmother's stories of working for Call Me God, Lord Abercrombie, and his family enough? The long, hard hours she endured. She had no life of her own. It was dedicated to making the Abercrombies' existence one of untroubled luxury. She snorted. In those days, there was little choice. You got work where you could. God help them. I pretended not to see the dismissive shoulder. They are offering me £2 a week for teaching one little girl, 5 mornings a week. Hardly slave labour. Just think of the money I'll save. I could see interruptions for...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?